Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for the Lord and His goodness. He's amazing. God is. How many believe that God is amazing? The thing that pushes and continues to push people who are absolutely thrilled and in love with God is the fact that you realize how amazing He is. And that has to be something that is realized on a daily basis. So we want to continue that. There's something I'll point out to you this morning. We're just going to kind of venture off just a tad here and look at something in the Scripture I think is important for us to see. There's several things that we just been going over this week. The Lord's been bringing to my attention, and I'm spending some time looking at those things and investigating them through the Scripture. As the Lord reveals those things, the burden is on us to search out the verses of Scripture that support what God is declaring if He woos us in a certain way. And that's been happening, and I'm grateful for it and thankful for it. And we want to do everything that we can to allow the Word of God to become real to us daily. And I want to challenge you today in the things of God that there's something that we have to do. We're participants in our ongoing relationship with God. We're to participate in it. We're to plan. We're to make certain that we're adamant about where we want to be in God. And we'll see that in the Scripture. We're going to look at something I think is of great value. It's going to be a benefit to all of us. If you look up here, it says, God provides. Learning to trust in God's faithfulness. God provides. Learning to trust in God's faithfulness. And I want you to know that that's what He's in the business of doing. He's in the business of providing for us. That's what He does best. He provides for us. And so we see this throughout the Scripture. I want to look at it from a different angle today and just point out some things to you. You won't have this in your on the slides here, but I want you to turn it to the book of Genesis real quick. I want to point out something here. And we just want God's Word to minister to us. We have to be challenged in the things of God because we deal with everything that surrounds us. And it's all sorts of negative things surround you all the time. We might as well face it. That's just the way it is. It surrounds us. But there's a lot of positive things that's surrounding us. And we got to choose which one we're going to pay attention to. Because God's Word's full of positive things. So if I'm feeding myself all week on the things of God, then my attitude is going to reflect that. My energy towards serving God is going to reflect that. Very important. And sometimes it's not in the ideal situation that God requires some things of us. Sometimes it's a tough spot. But He requires what we're going to do. If we trust, if we believe that God provides, and we believe we learn to trust in God's faithfulness, and that's something that you're not going to just, you come and get saved, and all of a sudden you're going to have everything you need to learn to trust in God's faithfulness. You're not going to have that. But we're going to learn to do that. We're going to learn through participating in this ongoing, progressive, growing, ever learning, knowing, understanding the things of God. The more you know about God, the more you realize that, you know, at one time I was doubting whether or not God could come through for me. But once I started studying about God, I realized that He's faithful. The Word says He's faithful. And so I want to look at several things I believe today that will help us and give us some understanding on some of these areas. So look at, we're going to be coming back to Jeremiah. So if you want to go to Jeremiah 32 and hold that spot there, we'll come back and read that. But I want you to go to Genesis with me right now. I want to point out something to you that I think is of great value that we have to understand and receive from what God declares in His Word. And I'll be in the third chapter of Genesis. It won't be up on the slide. I have no slide for this. There's a couple things that I won't have on the slide here, but I'll just give it to you so you can turn with me. If you have your Bible, I'm going to just have a Bible with you. I know I do these slides all the time, and sometimes we don't grab our Bible because we're using the slides, but this morning I want to change it up just a little bit and get you to look at it. So if you're looking at it electronically or in your Bible, we're in Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter number 3. And we're going to be looking at verse number 14. Verse 14. Genesis 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly will you go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." What's going to be between the seeds? He says your seed and her seed. He's going to cause what? Enmity. "He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you.'" So I want you to notice these verses here. I think they're significant, especially verses 14 and 15. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this." And what he had done was he had tempted and lied to Eve. He said, "You're going to be cursed." So we see that cursing happening there. In 15, he says, "I will put enmity." There's going to be an enmity, an animosity, an anger, an enemy between you. They're never going to agree. It's not going to be no agreement. He said, "Between your seed and her seed. And he," talking about, "and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." I want you to keep that in mind, that that's a promise that God made. God made a promise right then and there. When he talks of her seed, he's speaking of the prophetic seed that would come, which would be the Messiah. Little did Satan know that when what he destroyed, God, in his plan, his master plan, had in his plan to fix it. We call it contingency. What's the contingency? So if we plan something, then we have a contingency. Meaning if the first plan does what? Then what do? We go to what else we had planned and talked about. So in God's master plan, he already knew that he would fix it. So what you did, he's telling Satan, what you did, you're going to pay for this. You're all giggly on the inside thinking you won and you messed this up. But it's not going to happen that way. You'll bruise his head. You'll bruise his head, but he will bruise his heel. So you have to understand that. So I want you to get a hold to those purposes that are set forth in the scripture here. So just keep that in mind, what is being said there. Now go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. When you read that in Genesis, it starts out and it looks like failure for God. You're going to bruise his head. Talking about that seed. But it ends in what? Victory. Triumph. Because where does Satan wind up? Under his feet. So it starts out like, and let me tell you, in life, that's how it looks a lot of times. But if you're obedient to God, do what God says. I know, you know, can you imagine the conversations that Jesus and God were having when they were praying? We know some of the words because it's written for us. He said, Father, if it possible in the garden, let this cup pass from me. He said, I'm feeling the pressure of that foot coming down on my head. I'm feeling the squeeze, but not what I want, what you want. When Jesus says that, what is he doing? In essence, he's buying into the plan that God has rather than what he wants. You ever heard that term before? The term where you bought into something. You know, somebody will say, did you buy into that? Meaning that you heard what it was, and in essence, are you for it? Are you going with it all the way? When you buy into something, means you what to it? You committed to it. You're showing a commitment to it because you're buying into it. So there's a lot of people who think things are good. They think things are wonderful, but they don't buy into it. And you may make a statement like, I ain't buying that. You ever heard those statements? What does that mean when you say that? You don't believe them. You're not buying into it. Well, today we're going to look about buying the field. How many want to buy the field? I hope by today that you'll buy into it. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was going through it. He's feeling the push. And he could have said, listen, enough's enough. I ain't buying this. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. I'm buying into the whole program. And that's what it takes to be a believer. A strong, true believer. You don't buy into it, you're not going to stick out. You're not going to stay very long. You're going to go. Some people go for a while, the scripture says. For a while. But unless you buy into it, you're going to be in trouble eventually. There'll be a test. There'll be some test that'll just rip it right out of you. So Jesus was tested in all points. But the enemy could never get it from him. Because why was that? He bought into it. He bought into what the Father said. He was completely, he sold everything he had and he possessed so he could buy what God's purpose and plan was for him. What does the scripture say? He says that the kingdom's like. He's like when one is in the field. When one goes in the field and finds a pearl, a treasure, and he doesn't say anything, what does he do? He goes and sells everything that he has to do what? Buy the field. He believes in it so much that this is the pearl, this is the treasure. I'm going to sell everything I have and I'm going to buy the field. And that's what it takes in serving God. You got to buy into it. You got to buy the field. If we don't do that, then there's something worth more in our understanding and our liking than what God's purpose and plan is. It'll always find you. It may not be now, but when it'll eventually happen. And what we see in Scripture is that in this case, in Jeremiah's situation, we'll read just in a moment, that in a difficult time, God requires something. So how many ready to hear this? Well, let's look at it together. Jeremiah 32, verse number 1. Jeremiah 32, verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guards, which was in the house of the king of Judah. So where was he? He was in jail. All right? He's in jail. You ever notice in Scripture we find many times that when people's in jail or locked up or in trouble, that's when God will come through for them or bring a word to them. So in this the same thing happened here. In verse 3, because Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to give this city into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but he will surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and will speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he will take Zedekiah to Babylon, and he will be there until I visit him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Chaldeans, you will not succeed. So he wasn't happy with him. He's telling him the truth. He wasn't happy, so what did he do with him? Locks him up. For what? Prophesying against him. Verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, does he change his mind because he's locked up? Does he quit prophesying? No. The word of the Lord came to him. When the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, what does he do? He prophesies. So the word of the Lord came to me saying, he says, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, is coming to you saying, buy for yourself my field, which is in Ethnah, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. Now that's kind of way off base here. We're talking about them being besieged. Jeremiah is locked in prison. They're mad that he's prophesying. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes to him. He says, listen, you got to go buy a field. How many get that? Well, listen what he says. Verse number 8, then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guards according to the word of the Lord and said to me, buy my field, please. That is in Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for you have the right to possess it, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourselves. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. I bought the field, which was in Anathoth, and Hanamel, my uncle's son, and I weighed out the silver for him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed and called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scale. Then I took the deed of purchase, both the seal copy containing the terms and conditions and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Mishiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the sight of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase before all the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. And I commanded Barak in their presence, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take this deed, this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar that they may last a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land. after I had given the deed purchased to Barak, the son of Neri, then I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ha, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you, who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquity of fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty indeed, whose eyes are open in all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Father, I thank you, Lord, today. What an amazing passage. I'm asking you, Lord, that we can draw by your Spirit from this passage what you want us to know, that it would become so real to us, God, that we see it clearly, what you're saying. We honor you, Father. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. What we see here is something amazing that's taking place. Israel's in a situation that's horrible. They're besieged. The king of Babylon, the stronghold, has come down on them. When you besiege someone, you don't let anything in and anything out. It's besieged. You let them wait it out until they starve, they die, and slowly. And at the time of all that going on, the city's been taken. It's been overrun by the enemy. And God gives a word to Jeremiah. He said, you tell them to buy this field. It ain't a time to be selling. The market's down. You besieged. But I'm going to say it again. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. We're talking about Almighty God here. I know you got me in this jail, and I know you're mad at me, but I'm going to say what thus said the Lord said. You're going to lose this battle. You're going to see the king in Babylon face to face, eye to eye. You're not getting away. He's letting them know, I know you think you're smart and you got it all figured out, but you're not getting away. But in the midst of all that, he's in prison. They're mad at him. He's locked up. And what does he do? He prophesies again. The word of the Lord came to him. And he says, buy the field. Not only buy it, but make sure it's a good purchase price. Get the deed and seal the deed. And keep the deed in an earthen jar, because you're going to need that. Something's about, God's got a plan, and everybody else don't know about it, but he's telling some folks about it. See, not everybody in the world knows the plan that God has for them. What did Jeremiah say? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Let me tell you, God is amazing. And what he wants is for you and I to grab hold to these principles that we can clearly see them. And these are valuable things that God unfolds for us on a daily basis, that we grab hold to them. Verse number 10, it says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you. Do you see that? Declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. The King James says an expected. Listen, you got to expect something from God. But if you can't expect anything from God, if you don't know who God is, what he's all about, what can he do? Listen, they were besieged. The town is surrounded, and he tells Zedekiah, he says, you're going to lose. Faith, you might as well get over it. You lose today. I know you think you can win, but you won't win. But in the midst of that, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and he says, hey, come here. Go buy this field. You buy it because I know God's got a plan. There's a hope for this place. I know it's not going to, it's going to be real bad, but there's a hope for you. And how many want to trust God that way, no matter what's happening? No matter how slow it is, no matter what's going on around you, if God tells you to buy the field, you'll buy the field. See, we all talk about faith. But who wants to step out and do something when it's out of the ordinary? When not everybody's buying fields. As a matter of fact, they've got a lot of things for sale because this place is about to be overrun by the enemy. But that ain't why he told them to buy. He said, you buy it because we're coming back. How many ready to have that kind of faith? Because I want to tell you, that's what it's going to take to please God. It's going to take that kind of faith. It takes time to do all this. It wasn't just something. You look at even in this Old Testament writing here, it takes time for all that. It costs money to make such a purpose. God's intention in making this illustration through his prophet was to visualize, declare to the people of the land that God remained committed to his promises. He said, if you don't think I'm going to do what I'm going to do, because he just got finished telling him, you're going to lose. It's going to all be taken from you. But I'm coming back with, listen, I just read it to you in 29, 10 and 11. He says, listen, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Who knows the plan better than the one who wrote the plan? He's the one who put the plan into motion. Do you understand that? Now I want you to keep in mind Genesis, what we read. He said, Satan, I just want you to know, you think you won. You think you got it all besieged and you got it all surrounded and you're going to feel like you're the champ because you're going to bruise his head. I just want you to know this. Thus says the Lord, he will bruise his heel. In the end, you lose. Just so you know. He's letting him know, just so you know, you lose. And so we see this happening, unfolding. Though they had broken his covenant and turned to other gods, he was still faithful to the words he had spoken to Abraham, David, and those who trusted him. So God has Jeremiah buy a field to show that God has not given up on this place. I want you to think about it this way. Sometimes, to show God that you have not given up and that you know that he hasn't given up, you got to step out by faith and do something I'm talking about as drastic as Jeremiah did in buying a field in a place that's not going to be yours very long. But believe that it's coming back to you. There's too many times we let go of what we have once said we possessed. There's people in your family that you used to pray earnestly for them. Have you let them go? Have you seen their lives, that their lives have been besieged? There's no hope for them. They're not going to come out of that. They're surrounded by all this stuff and this trouble and all of these restraints on them. And so, you know, I've heard people say this, and listen, this shouldn't come out of our mouths. I've tried everything that I know to do. What does that sound like? That sounds like, oh, you're waving a white flag to me. We know we see what's going on. That's obvious. We see that people are in trouble. But what are you going to believe in the end? Do you trust that God says, I will do this? And if you do, then you have to make a step in the direction of Him. It's already done. You don't buy a field in a place that's not going to be yours. Unless God says for you to do it. And you know that in the plan of God, in the whole scope that God has laid out, that it may not be you. You're going to buy it, and you're going to keep the deed sealed up. There's a closed seal and an open one. It's open. So that's, listen, this is verification here. Got one open, got one closed, but they're together. When they get there, they can say, hey, this field belongs to so-and-so. The land, we're back in the land. And it opened the other one, it's sealed. It verifies it. It verifies what I just read to you. And so I want you to know that the way God operates in the Word, if we'll get in the Scripture and we'll search out the Scripture, we can, listen, finding the first part, that really affects your emotion. But man, when you find it sealed up, where nobody could tamper with it. Nobody's been in this one. This one, that maybe somebody tampered with this and they're kind of trying to fool somebody. I believe God wants to show it in a way where there's no mistake about it. When it happens on your behalf, you will have to declare that it was God that brought it to pass. It was God. So we see this unfolding here. Of God saying, this is what I'm going to do. So God has Jeremiah buy a field to show that God has not given up on this place. I want you to know God has not given up. We give up a lot of times, but God's not giving up. We quit on a lot of things, but God's not giving up. You don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your dreams. If you know God has spoke that, don't give up. Buy a field. If you need to do something, quitting's not an option. If you want really something to do and you trust in God and you're saying, I'm trusting God and I don't know what's taking them so long, what you got to do. You don't think Jeremiah was trusting God? Did he sit back and say, listen, I did my part. I did my part. I prophesied. You know, he got put into action here. He said, let's buy this field. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. If we believe God's coming back and he's going to restore Babylon all the way back to us, then let's go ahead and get everything ready. It's not my house yet, but it's going to be mine. I know my son's not saved yet, but he's going to be. My daughter's coming in. My husband's coming in. I know this. I still have this ache, but it's on its way out because according to what I read, you understand, that's buying your field. Trust God and say, God, you're faithful to me. And that's what it takes. It takes us to understand those principles and have those things happen in our life. You think that's something? That's something. What about what God did for you and to declare his commitment to his word? Now, let me tell you, you talk about a challenging step in Jeremiah, but what about what God did for us? Let's talk about that for a little bit. What about what God did for you and I? You remember, how many of you ever heard that Jeremiah 29? I know the plans that I have for you. We just read it. You've heard that often in church. People use that. But let me show you something in the Scripture in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse 18, watch what it says here. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers. How do you get it? How do you got it? You inherited it where? From who? Your forefathers. But with the precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you seeing that? But with the precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless the blood of Christ. I'm going to stop right there and just share something with you. On Thursday, I believe it was, during the day, middle of the day, I went to the house and I was getting everything ready. I'd put some diesel in the lawnmower and I was going to cut grass. And I was getting everything ready and I was setting my tape up so I could listen to the Bible. So I wanted to listen to some particular verses of scripture and chapters. So I'm getting all that ready. And I get on the lawnmower and I'm getting ready to put it on. And I would just stop for a moment. I just begin to meditate on God's goodness. How amazing you are, God. You're so good. And I say, God, one thing I want you to know, I'm hungry to know what you have for us. I'm hungry, Lord. What, God, if there's anything, God, that I'm missing anything, I don't want to miss it. I want to see it clearly. I want you to, and so I say, God, could you just give me a revelation about who you are and how this, how, this is so amazing. I think about how amazing it is that you sent your only begotten son, your unique son. What is? How did all this happen? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord gave me something, and I'm on the lawnmower. I'm cranking it up. I put my earbuds in, and I take off, and I'm listening to what I'd put in. I'm listening, and I go for 2 or 3 hours. Here I'm going. And at the end of the day, I forgot what he told me. And it bothered me so bad. I was like, I don't even, I know it's something. I know it was very meaningful, but I forgot it. Because I didn't write it down. And I figured I just remembered. It was so powerful, there's no way I could forget it. So I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking, God, please bring this back to my remembrance. I knew it was significant. I know, God, it was so significant. I just remind me again. So then the Lord reminded me again. I remembered what it was. And what it was is I asked the Lord to just share something with me. Just like that. I said, God, just share something with me. Share something about who you are and how incredible it is. Undeniable revelation. Let us see it clearly in the scripture. Now, I read some scripture points and statements already this morning that should be able to relate back to those that I read when I mentioned this to you. But I asked the Lord about Jesus. I said, God, Jesus, your son, he comes into the world. And people have this this idea that somehow Jesus Christ he couldn't even sin. If he wanted to, he couldn't do it. And I can tell you that idea about Christ is not untrue. Jesus had to grow in grace. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in knowledge. He had to grow in his relationship to the Father. And he was tempted. Tempted, meaning that he was able to sin. And if he wasn't able to sin, it would be no different than if sinning Jesus and he's not able to sin. That would be like Michael Jordan going to first grade class, picking 5 boys out of first grade and bringing them to the basketball court and beating them. That wouldn't even be a game, right? Serious, think about this. Michael Jordan takes 5 first graders and gives them the basketball and says, all right, I'm going to go against you. What chance do you think those 5 first graders has to beat him? 0. Absolutely no chance. But he can get on a basketball court with the same aged men, with the same skill set, and do what he does. That is spectacular. Right? You'd say, whoa. And I think that's how people view Jesus. He come down and play with 5 first graders. So it wasn't no problem. Well, that's a wrong idea. He came amongst people just like him and did what he did. That's spectacular. That's amazing. That's the version that I understand about Scripture. So I asked God about it. I'd ask God about it. I said, okay, God, explain that to me. And here's the explanation when it comes to, he says that children suffer for the sins of their fathers. And I read to you several times that it's passed on from the forefathers. And the Lord spoke to me as I was getting ready to cut that grass. He said, that's why I'm his father and Joseph's not. I'm his father. Nothing got passed on to him. He started clean, but he could have been stained by his own will to deny me as the father. Because that's what Adam did. Adam denied God his spot of being an authority, and he believed what was told to him. The second Adam come in and says, you can say whatever you want, Satan. It is written. I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus bought the field. Maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe I need to read it again. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver, gold from your futile ways of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. Jeremiah took silver, shekels. They counted it out and weighed it. And he got a deed. Jesus took his blood. Do you understand that? He was born of the virgin, but the sin does not pass on, didn't pass on through her. The sin passed on through the Father. Jesus was not born with sin in him. He who knew no sin became sin. Do you understand that? He became sin. He knew no sin, not when he was born, knew no sin. From the time they nailed him to the cross, he knew no sin, and then he became sin. How many thank God for that? He didn't become sin in the womb. He knew no sin because sins are passed on. Children suffer from the sins of their father because one man, because of one man, sin entered into the world. And after that, death. And so that's the revelation as I was sitting there getting ready to do my chores and that was going on. Here's God. See, I don't care what you got going on. If you want God to be incredible and show out for you, he'll do it if you ask him. Listen, I'm a busy guy. I got a lot of stuff going on. But when you're so busy that you don't have the time just to ask God a question, then we got to relook at all those things. God don't mind you being busy. But you got to, when it's his time, you got to give it all to him. And so these are valuable principles that are important to you and I. Look at the next one, Revelation 5. If you was here Thursday, if you weren't here Thursday, you need to get that CD. Or go on whatever they said earlier, Faith Temple, ftmburis.org. Go there and look it up and listen to it. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Are you getting this? I want you to know, he bought the field. We were the field. And it didn't look good for man. Man was besieged by Satan's lies and deceptions. Man was besieged. Listen, to the point that he's going to bruise your head. It's going to look like it's over with. It's going to look like you're lost. What does Jeremiah say to Zedekiah? He said, you're going to lose. I know you're mad at me, but get over it. You're going to lose. But just to let you know, I'm buying some land. They did saw Jeremiah. He's a quack. Just to let you know, I know you're going to lose, and I know it looks like that's all over for us, and Babylon's going to take over, but I'm coming back. I'm going to worship God from this place again, so I'm going to buy the land. And I want you to know, Jesus, he purchased us. He says, I know it looks bad. Fellas, I'm up here and I'm on this cross. They got nails in me. Crown of thorns on my head. They beat me so bad. I know it looks bad. But just let you know I'm coming back. I bought the field. I believe the promises of God. He said it and I believe him. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that for you and I. He said they searched to see if there would be one that can open the seal. And there he was. Look at verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. So we see these principles happening. They sang in verse 9 again, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And then he goes on to say, and you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. That's a lot of stuff happened in those two verses there. Remember we talked about that in the Revelation study, the things that are near, future, and distant. There's a lot that goes on in one view. So you're seeing the things that are here. So I'm looking here at the table. I see the table. But then I look out there and I see Nolan. So it's all in the same room. I'm able to do that. And I look up, I see the slide. All within the same. So that's how he was seeing this vision. He said, this lamb's there and he's worthy to open the seal. So he sees the seal and him worthy. But he said he made him a kingdom of priests to our God. And so he sees it in the end. So that's all happening at the same time. But it hasn't come to pass yet, but it's happening. It's in the process. So we see that throughout Scripture. And so I wanted to just point that out to you. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you have been bought with a price. How many see that? Therefore, glorify God in your body. You've been bought with a price. How many thank God that you've been bought with a price? You've been bought. So we need to see these principles as they unfold for you and I in our lives. We've been bought. Jesus bought the field. And it's the same thing with you and I in our own relationships. We see it in Jeremiah that the field was bought, even though it didn't look good. They were going to lose. Babylon was going to take over. Who was going to possess that land? By force. Who was going to possess it? Babylonians. They were taking it. Nebuchadnezzar, it's mine. What are you going to do? You lost. Would they ever fully possess that field that was sealed up in the clay jar? Would they ever fully possess that field? Absolutely not. It's spoken for. It's spoken for. Let me tell you something. The devil thinks that he can fully possess you. But I want to tell you, you've been bought with the price. Maybe you hadn't figured that out yet. Maybe you need to tell that to your children. Tell that to your family members. Before you go and telling somebody, let yourself know. Tell yourself, say, listen, I know you're acting up this week. And I know you're feeling besieged and you feel like you're being pushed down by the enemy. It's been a rough week for you. Well, maybe there's a rough month or 2 months that's come. I don't know. But I know one thing. God's got me speaking on this. We kind of went off just a little bit. Maybe it is, but in the process of that, you got to know something. You've been bought with a price. I know it looks like it's bad, but I don't care what it looks like around you and what it feels like. One thing's for certain, you've been bought with a price. And that's what he told. He's trying to let us know. Listen, how many remember when you were buried, it felt like you were being just pushed down. Your head was one more, you was under, going under for the last time. You didn't feel like you had no way out. And somebody preached to you the gospel and let you know, I've been bought. You don't feel that way anymore. You feel victorious because you come up and out of that. We all working off a word from the Lord. That's what we all work off of. That's why it takes faith to please God. You got to trust that's what he said about you. And if we're not studying this stuff, looking at it in the Word, we're not going to have faith. We're not going to be strong in God. We're going to give in to the things that the enemy lies about. It's all lies. You understand that? It's lies. If the enemy says it's over, listen, if the doctor looks at you and says it's over for you, that's a lie. It's not, listen, you understand? You might, it doesn't mean you'll live forever. You're going to die. Say, you're going to die, but it's not over. Do you understand that? But people take that to heart and say, well, this is only temporary. Where's your hope at? If your hope is only in this life, Paul said, we are men most miserable. We ought to be pitied. If this is the only hope we got, you got to remember, where's your hope at? What do you put as valuable in your life today? Are you looking forward to the kingdom? Are you looking forward? I've been bought with a price. I've been purchased, but Jesus didn't die so I can feel good today. Do you understand that? He didn't die and purchase me with his own blood so it can be a happy day for me, so I can have all that I want. That's not what he did. He didn't do it. Listen, you know what he did? He purchased me with his own blood so he could be the one worthy to open the seal and to loose the prophetic utterances from God that would happen. He purchased me, so I'm bought with a price. He done this for me so I can be kingdom in his kingdom, kingdom and priest to live with him forever and ever. Where's the value you have? Because remember when he told them to buy the land? There's a value on it. They counted out the silver in the company of witnesses. They didn't want nobody to say, yeah, he bought it because the price went down. That's why the price is nope. Everybody's trying to get rid of their house, man. Babylon's besieging us. This is junk. This business don't mean anything to me. It don't mean absolutely nothing. What am I going to keep it for? They're going to bust the door in any moment now. What am I have? So if it does, give me $10. I'll take $10 for it. At least I got $10. That's not how this happened. They counted the silver out in the company of witnesses. They bought it at the fair value. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they sealed it, make sure everybody witnesses this. They weighed it in a scale. It don't matter. Just throw, give me something. I hear them. They're banging on the door right now. Hurry, hurry. Pay me. Pay me now because I want my money before they knock the door and you change your mind. You won't want to. None of that happened. And that's how you take that same story and we apply it. Listen, Jesus wasn't saying, oh, well, you know, I just go ahead, guess I'll do this. No, it was, there was a reason for it. Why did he buy the field? Because it was valuable. It was their land. It's going to be the enemy's for a while, but it's mine. Why did Jesus buy you? You know why? Father, I know the enemy's besieged us. But Brian is your son. I'm buying him. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Lee is your son. I'm buying him and Lynn and Connie and Courtney. I'm buying all of them. I'm buying you. I'm buying Freddie and Yula Mae and Scooby and Eddie. I'm buying Rachel. I'm buying them all because they're yours. It may not seem like they're a whole lot right now in their sin of being besieged, but I'm buying them anyway. Do you get that? That's what he did for us. That's what the plan God had at the very beginning when I read to you in Genesis. He said, Satan, you're going to feel like you're winning. You're going to have him down to the ground, shoving his head under the earth. But that head's going to pop up. And he's going to purchase with his own blood my people. That's what he's going to do. And this is God saying, just to let you know. This is in Genesis. When he says her seed, that's what he's talking about. She's going to have a seed. The Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. But one of my favorite things is what God said to me. He says, I'm his father. And if anybody can only get that, he wasn't fathered by Joseph. Because if he had got fathered by Joseph, we'd have a different situation here. We'd have a dilemma. Because he would have been born into a sin nature. But he wasn't born into a sin nature. He who knew no sin became sin. Are you getting this? You see, there's always a price that has to be paid. You don't get the field for nothing. Right? Did they get the field for nothing? I'm pretty sure they had some people saying, take it. So they had probably some fields for free. But when it's God's promise, it's never for nothing. It's always a cost there. And so they purchased the field and they counted out the shekels of silver and they weighed it in the scale and they had the witnesses witness it. Go back and read Jeremiah. It's an amazing story. Amazing story. And I want to tell you about Jesus. There's always a cost. The price in his case was significant. It cost him his life. So I'm just trying to show you what you're worth to God. How much you're worth to God. Jesus saw it. He shows us this picture. He says, you want to know how much you're worth? Listen, aren't you? Quit listening to what people think about you. People go on and on and on about stuff. Listen, what about what God thinks about you? He loves you so much that his only son died for you. And then we're worrying about what folks think. Worrying about what folks say. Come on, enough is enough. We got to get real with this thing. What about God? He loved me so much, and he told Jesus the story. He said, this is my people. And he says, Father, I just want to do your will. That's all I want to do. And I realize that you love them so much that if you require of me to buy this field, I'm going to buy this field. But it's not going to be, listen, it's not going to be shekels of silver. Jesus was sold for 20 pieces. Think about it. But it's going to cost you your life. Purchased with his own blood. It's going to cost you everything. This field's not cheap. Being God and having a people that you love so much, it's not cheap to get them bought back. Because every time we were out there and we were sinning and we were doing everything we're doing, and still now, I want you to know, the price to get us back wasn't cheap. It cost somebody's life. And the life that it cost was one who knew no sin. But he became the lamb slain who was worthy to open the book and to loose its seals. We see all this in Scripture, and we read this verse here. How incredible it is to have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. How sure is God's commitment to his covenants and his words? He declares the seriousness of his investment through the cross. That's what he did. He says, you want to know how serious I am about my investment? How serious were they in Jeremiah? How serious was he with his investment? He was so serious that he counted it out and made a record of it. Everybody witnessed the record. He rolled up, sealed one, left one open. One deed open, one closed. Put them in a jar for it to be preserved. Why would they put things? What did they do in the olden times to preserve something? They put it in a clay jar and sealed it in so that dampness and all. So it would last for a long time. Listen, it would last thousands of years. And we know that to be true. We found scrolls. You remember when the Dead Sea Scrolls were located? These were in earthen jars. He's showing the value. He's not just going to lay the, oh, just throw the deed over there or whatever. You know, you don't do, how many know if anybody's ever got a check in or something, and like, you know, say a big check. You don't throw it discarded in the rest of the junk mail. No, you're going through that. The junk mail, it's all over the house. You got that one, right? Because it's got value. And that's what he treated the field like. This has got value. I'm not going to just throw this deed on the side and, you know, hope for the best. We're about to get beat. So what's the point? The battle hadn't even finished, and they already were planning to come back. That's value in what you believe in. And that's how God looks at you and I. So listen to me. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can do however you want to do this. But there's only going to be a few in the kingdom who will listen and make these corrections in their life. And there's going to be a lot of people who heard it Sunday after Sunday, and they're not going to make it in the kingdom. So it's your choice. You decide this. You got to make a real decision how you're going to serve God. What value do you place? Are you excited that you've been bought with the price? You didn't get, listen, you're not saved just to be saved. No, you've been bought with a price, purchased by the blood. You ought to be excited and happy and willing to tell anybody about this amazing story that you know in the Word of God called the gospel. It ought to be just an honor to you to do it. But churches become other things. And I tell you, it's disappointing. We're talking about being bought with a price. In Jeremiah, we see a man who buys a field declaring that the land is valuable to God. In Jesus, we see that mankind is valuable as he is offered on our behalf. I just don't know how to describe it any better how much God wants us. It just, I don't know how to describe it any better. If God promised you the land and the enemy's taking the land, that land still got value. I don't care who takes it because it's God's promise. And the same thing with man. God says, I don't care what the condition of man is. I love man. Does that make sense to you? Does anybody feel the love out of this message today? I love them so much. I'm going to purchase them and show how much I love them by giving my only son. The one son that I father through the virgin birth, that one I am going to give him, and he is so willingly going to say yes to the Father because he loves the Father that much that he'll purchase humankind, mankind, with his own blood. It's incredible. And to think that Jesus, he had his own will. He talks about it often in Scripture. He had his own will. Not my will, his own will. It wasn't the Father's will. God's got his will and Jesus has got his own will. Because they're two different people. Are y'all here? But he surrendered his will. He surrendered his will. Every time Satan attacked him, every time he tried to come against him, he beat him by saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And I'm so grateful today that God has given us the opportunity that he has that we could come and see these things. I bet Jeremiah's buying of the field caught some people's attention at the time. What'd you think? I'm pretty sure they said, that is a lunatic. He's crazy. So how many ready to put yourself out there to be put in a group of crazies? When you do something that's out of the ordinary at a time that ain't nobody should be, why is that? People's excited right now. We're having one of the worst years. Really. I told you at the beginning of this year, this could be the best year you ever had. I said that. You go back and get the tape on that. Yes. You think I'm going to change my mind? No, I have to buy the field when God tells me to buy the field. I don't care what it looks like. Anybody can prophesy after the event. Anybody could do that. What about trusting God when it doesn't look right? I know I'm in jail and the king's mad at me, but the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. What happens when the word of the Lord comes to the prophet? He prophesies. He prophesies. When the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, he prophesies. He just lets you know. I know this is ridiculous sounding. I know it's absolutely crazy. I know people think I'm a nut, but I'm buying land when the enemy's about to take the whole city. And I'm buying it with haste, with joy and excitement. I'm paying full price for it, and I'm keeping the record protected because it's mine. I claim it. I'm not buying it so I don't not live here. He was going to live there. Well, immediately in this future, you didn't see that. Because we know what the story happened. We know what happened. But let me show you something. Go back to verse number, same chapter, Jeremiah, verse number, let's see, let's start with 16. We'll do that. Well, let's do 20. I read to 19. Let's do 20. Who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt? And even to this day, both in Israel and among mankind, you have made a name for yourself as at this day. You brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with strong hand and with an outstretched arm with great terror. And gave them this land which you swore to their forefathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or walk in your laws. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this calamity come upon them. Now you see in this. Behold, the siege ramps have reached the city to take it. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fight against it because of the work of the sword and famine and pestilence. And what you have spoken has come to pass, and behold, you see it. You have said to me, O Lord God, buy for yourself the field with money and call in witnesses. Although the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Is anything too difficult for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will take it. The Chaldeans who are fighting against this city will enter and set this city on fire and burn it with the houses where people have offered incense to Baal, and their roofs are poured out drink offering and other gods to provoke me to anger. Indeed, the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah have been doing only evil in my sight from their youth. For the sons of Israel have been only provoking me to anger by the work of their hand, declares the Lord. Indeed, this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my wrath from the day that they built it, even to this day, so that it should be removed from before my face. Because of all the evil of the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, their kings, their leaders, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They was all in the group. They have turned their backs to me and not their face. Though I taught them teaching again and again, they would not listen and receive instruction. I'm going to stop right there. I'll try to see if we can, where else we're going to go with that. Now I want you to notice that last verse that I read. They did all that. They turned their back. He says, though I taught them teaching again and again, and they would not listen and receive instruction. And that's how I feel. I feel that way this morning. I know God brought me to this passage for a reason. Listen, one thing I can't do is I can't listen for you. You got to listen for yourself. And I know that I've taught again and again, again and again. Again and again. But it's up to you and I to listen. We got to listen. God teaches me, I listen to him. If I listen to anybody else, any men of God that are preaching the gospel, if I listen to a tape, a CD or whatever, I got to listen. God's trying to tell me something. I got to pay attention to that and make those adjustments. God said, I've done everything I can, but they're going to go through this. I want to tell you something. There's some things that we're going to go through. We're going to learn some lessons. We got to learn them easy or hard, one of them. But God loves me too much to just let me go off on my own and not reach out to me. Now, let me tell you, how did he reach out to all of us? I don't care what we face from here going. He purchased us with the blood of his own son. And you can't forget that. I know we want it. We want it our way. We want to see. You know, if you hurt, you want somebody else to hurt. It's the nature of man. We don't want to be in it ourselves. We don't want to be in our calamity by ourselves. But listen, the thing is this. If we all did this, each one, every single person as an individual, we said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy the field. I'm going to do what God says. I must realize that what Christ did for me is of value. And so you have to trust God. That how it comes to man is this. How many believe that God's purpose and plan for you is to live for him? Do you believe that? Then no matter what's going on around you, you got to buy the field. No matter what's happening, you got to say, I'm putting everything in this. Everything. Everything I got, I'm putting in this. So when he goes out and he finds this treasure, it's here. He finds this treasure. What does he do? What does he do? He finds this treasure in the field. What does he do? He goes and he gets rid of everything he's got. Because to him, the treasure, he's got nothing else that can even come close to this. But no, the field is being sold, but they don't know the treasure's in the field. But the man who found the treasure, he knows the treasure's there. So he gets rid of everything he has because he knows that nothing that he possesses now comes close to being as much as the treasure. Is this making sense to anybody? Listen, living in the kingdom with Jesus forever and ever and ever, there's nothing you can possess in this world that can ever come close to that. So what do? You sell everything you have. And you go over here and you buy the field. That's what you do. You get rid of everything and you buy the field. And, you know, we have people preach that over the years, and they take it completely out of its context and meaning. They preach it literally. And they got folks, you know, and it just confuses people. But he's telling us, he's using us in a figurative language. We surrender to everything else. Even though we're involved in it, we do these things. You know, you got a car, and you got a house, and you got a boat, and you got a yard, and you got businesses, whatever you got going on. You got school, you got all this stuff that's going on. And it's part of who you are. It's part of your life. But does that have more value to you than buying the field? Then what's in the field, that treasure? If it does, then we're missing this. The most valuable thing in our life is to know that we have been bought by the blood of Jesus. And I like the words that Paul used, he said, with the precious blood of Jesus. Let's not forget that. With the precious blood of Jesus, we've been bought. And then God required that. God required that. He said, son, would you buy him for me? Anything for you, Father. Not what I want, what you want. Well, I want that field. If you want that field, God, Father, I'll go buy the field. Son, it's going to cost you a lot. Well, I know. What is it? What is it going to cost me? He said, your own life. You don't even deserve to die, but it's going to cost you that. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it for you, because you're my father. Is there anybody here want to do something for your father today? Next time the enemy comes and he's just smashing you in the face with lies and deceit and deception and division and strife and all that, you know, you want to get back at the enemy? You don't get back at him by doing what he says for you to do. You know how you get back at the enemy? You look up to the Father and you say, Father, despite everything that's going on around me, I feel besieged. I feel mistreated. You understand? I feel like I've been people turned against me. You don't think Jeremiah felt that? He's in prison. All of his followers, God, I'm alone. But whatever you want, Lord, what you want? Buy a field. Get all your money, buy that field. Keep a record of it. That way people know that when God says we're getting it back, we're getting it back. And did they get it back? I wish we had time to go through all of it. They get it back. When they get it back, guess who's got a field already purchased? He going to dig his jar up and says, because somebody's moving in, you know, like, oh, I picked that house. I want that house. It's a nice house. I want that one. And he goes, I got a deed here, sealed and signed. We weighed the money. It's ours. You must have had some inside information to buy that fast. He did. He had some inside information. The Father, God Almighty, said, Jeremiah, buy the field. So when you and I come up and Satan moves in your life and says, I'm going to do this, you're going to be on this, you're going to be addicted to that, you're going to hate, you're going to murder, you're going to do all that. And Jesus goes, I bought him. I know that's what he is, but he's not that anymore. Here's the thing. Do you get that? I don't see the problem with God. I don't see the problem with the son. I don't see the problem with Jeremiah. The issue is, I've taught this over and over, and they're not listening. We got to listen. Do you understand that? Brother, when you know, you all this stuff going on, and he showed up and said, Troy has been bought with a price. I know he got all this stuff that went on, but I bought him. You need to listen to that. You got to listen to that. That's who you really are. I know we got stuff going on around us, and we got to get up, and we got to inhale and exhale every day. We might as well get over that. That's just the way it is. And it may be some difficult times, but you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus. And he's standing for you. And Stephen's there and he's being stoned, laughed at, and Saul at the time is holding the garments of those that are beating him down. And he's being buried in stones. And he looks up and Jesus goes, Father, I bought him too. I bought him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know it looked bad for him. He's besieged, but let me tell you, before they besieged Stephen, he bought a field. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand.